When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Will Coleman, founder and CEO of Alto, and I built Alto to put an end to rideshare horror stories. You're used to the total lack of consistency in rideshare. Maybe it's a smelly car or a driver that asks just one too many personal questions. Not anymore. With Alto, you know exactly what to expect every ride. Every Alto driver is a trained Alto employee, and every Alto vehicle is part of our private fleet of luxury SUVs. Say goodbye to rideshare horror stories. Download the Alto app today and use code FOUNDER for $10 off your first ride.
Mirror man, mirror man, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am. Mirror man.
Good evening and welcome to an On The Whistle podcast. We're here to discuss Brighton. I am here with birthday boy Johnny. How's it going, Johnny?
Do you know what? I'm all right. It's, I've said to you just before we went live that, look, I had to roll my hands up. I'm out for my birthday. It's rare that I go out for my birthday these days, what with global pandemics and general age and fatigue, you know, both being big contributing factors to not going out. But ultimately, I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out there. We don't know what's coming around the corner. Go out and celebrate. And what better way to set me off on a night out than Arsenal away at Brighton. That's bound to be an absolute, you know, rip-roaring occasion. And, well, it was a little bit of a damp squib in the end, wasn't it? You know, a little bit of
Are you in Brighton? Did you go that you are in Brighton tonight?
I'm not in Brighton. Okay. I am officially in London. About to go out for my birthday plans. But I obviously would not miss the game. But, yeah, any kind of takes or opinions that I'm giving has to be seen by our listeners through the lens. Well, I will be giving that through the lens of having more than one Jägerbomb tonight, today, against my will, but I'd lost out on drinking games that I had no part in even taking part in, quite frankly. But yeah, either way, I'm here and I'm ready to give some hot takes.
And you're looking dressed up, Johnny, as well, bringing the sharp strides out for the birthday. So it's good to see you looking so sharp. Matt Candela, for the people that are listening to the podcast, there's been an evolution with Matt. He's been living, he's living below the poverty belt when it comes to his sound equipment. But Matt's had a big upgrade this week. He's got some nice earphones and he's got a podcast microphone. Matt, let them hear the true sound of your wonderful voice. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pete.
Sounds so good.
It sounds so good, doesn't it?
ASMR. Matt's going to have a new career in ASMR, tickling, scratching feathers over his skin and like eating crisps. he's got a whole new stream of money coming his way.
I can also do some porn numbers as well.
Oh my word. Matt's been drinking as well. What a nightmare. What a nightmare I've got on the cars today. All right, guys, the Brighton game. I'm going to start with the hottest take. It's not even a hot take. It's a cold take. I thought that was a really bad performance today. I thought Arsenal didn't match Brighton's press. I thought our midfield was extremely passive. And I think a lot of key players had average performances out there today. And in my opinion, we were really lucky to escape with a point. But the silver lining is we did escape with a point. And, you know, coming out of after the international break, the first team in 20 years to lose the first three games and then win the three games after, we escaped with 10 points. We're right in the mixer and where we want to be moving forward. But performance wasn't there and Arteta needs to make some changes after the break. Johnny, hit us with the birthday hot takes.
Let's get down to it, shall we? The fact is that, first of all, it's been one of the best weeks for most Gooners in recent times. We've all had a very good week. And if you haven't, I don't know what you're doing. The fact is this is, it's been a wonderful time. We've been able to send out some memes, send out some messages to people who had previously, you know, hit us with some barbs and we'd shied away from that kind of scrap. We didn't want it. We didn't believe. So it's been wonderful. Close friends who are Tottenham fans, you know, it's their sin, not mine, I've walloped them. I've hit them with some left and right this week.
And no shame.
They're hiding. They know they delivered donut football last week and no midfield. And it's wonderful to see a club other than us in complete disarray with a fan base who are obscenely turning on their own manager after six games. I know what we're going to get into, even in the course of my little contribution now, is this idea of being reactionary and whatnot, and regardless. But the fact is that when you look at it, I think that the nature of the results has one way or whether or not we've got there by roller coaster fashion or not, we have come to a place where we are at par for the course. We've won three games, we've lost three games. If you looked at the fixtures before the start of the season, we probably haven't won all the games that I thought we would win, but we've not lost all the games I thought we would lose. And so one way or another, we've come to a situation where, yes, disappointing away at Brentford, but great, great result against Tottenham at home. Not just getting a win, but putting a hiding on them in the first half. And it has been a great week. But we followed that up with a result against Brighton, which... Let's be serious about it and put them into the context. Brighton are no mugs. They're not getting slapped around by people. They're having a good season. They've got a good manager. They're very well organised. And the fact is that anyone who thought that we'd roll into town and just have our way with them has not been paying attention. But that being said, one of the more positive things I thought from the Tottenham game that I took away is not just the result. It's great to put one over Spurs, but it was the manner of the result. It was the manner of the performance. I thought swashbuckling was a word that, you know, I don't think would be out of place when we look at the first half performance. And what I want, what I really need to really truly buy in, you know, to do away with the ill feeling of the past and really buy in again is consistency of performance to make me feel encouraged that there is an overall plan which is now bedding in. When I see a performance like today, it's not to say that I can completely throw it out, but there's no way for all these fans, and I will now start getting onto that agenda as well. There are a few Arteta sexuals or whatever we are calling the collective, you know, people, fanboys of the man who were crowing a little this week after a great result. And I absolutely, you know, vehemently state that every Arsenal fan had no reason to be anything other than gleeful this week. It was a great result against a team that we had to win. If you can't celebrate a win against Tottenham in that fashion, what's the point in doing it anymore? However, some of the people who, without irony, were coming to me on Twitter and saying, look at you. You formed an opinion after three games, and now look, egg on your face. Not even sensing, again, there's no sense of irony that after another three games, they now think that it's retribution for the man who had put us through the mire in the first place. I stated that I do believe that the transfer policy is something that certainly has to be seen as a success on current form. But results-wise, we've got to pick it up. We've got to be able... I don't think it was a bad result today, but I'd have obviously felt a lot more encouraged if we went to a Brighton team that I think everyone would assume would finish above this year and really put them to the sword with the same kind of panache and vigour that we took apart Tottenham with. However, that didn't happen. And so I kind of feel like we're at a par for the course kind of area at the moment. Just we're not, I don't think anyone could, you know, we can't go too far in either fashion. At the end of the day, we're trudging along. We could still get top four, but we could still have another downturn and finish eighth or ninth. And that, unfortunately, means that I can't be fully bought in. I'm just very happy after a delicious week, but ultimately I'm holding back some reservations when it comes to the assessment of Arteta.
So Matt, Johnny's Jaegerish disposition there is quite a positive one, if we're totally honest there. And you and I spoke just before in the green room, as I'm going to call it, and you slapped me down a little bit because of my negativity. What is your hot take off the back of a tricky performance today?
I think we should always call it the Red Room, right?
The Red Room, I like that better. Yeah,
yeah. Let's call it the Red Room. Listen, last week was incredible. And I was sat with a mate on Thursday night having a few beers, and we were literally just reenacting all of the Arsenal first half against Tottenham. 4 days after the event, we were still banging on about it. And we were daring to dream, and we were saying, imagine if we beat Brighton away. Imagine if we put in another performance, then we are back. We're back. And, you know, inevitably, we didn't do it. You know, we came in, the nature of the performance just felt much more like all the stuff we'd seen before Tottenham. There were positives, you know, it wasn't terrible. We didn't lose. It's a tough place to go. It's a point away from home. All of those are positives, but it wasn't a continuation of that progress. And so for that, it's just a little bit of a bump back down to earth and, oh, okay. And it's a reality check because this season is going to be some ups, some downs. And we're Arsenal fans, so we are reactionary, you know. After 3 games, we were going to get relegated. And after another 3, we were going to win the league. You know, it's just what we do. So this is probably a fair result for the team that we've got at the moment. You look at it and you go, the squad is big, but it's weak. It's a weak squad. We got a pretty good first 11, but I thought we actually changed the game when we brought our subs on. I thought we were much better in the last 30 minutes, and it shows why you can't just play the same team over and over again. But, you know, we have got all week to prepare for this, all week. And the thing that worries me slightly is you look at it and you go, didn't they anticipate any of this? Sometimes it seems like they wandered in and they're like, oh God, they're playing like this and they're pressing us really hard and it's all this. But, you know, I think all in all, it was a terrible day, terrible weather. Brighton could have gone level on points with Chelsea at the top if they'd won. So, you know, I'll take the draw. We move on, but we need to see an uptick in the performances.
Yeah. But two very different hot takes there. So I'm going to move in and I'm going to light a little bit of a fire with this next subject. The midfield today was passive. Sambi Lokonga and Thomas Partey hid all game. They didn't want it. They were frightened of the press. That led to Aaron Ramsdale launching long balls that we were losing to giant defenders and midfielders that looked a little bit more hungry than Aubameyang to win those first balls. I'm going to throw this question out there. Matt, you mentioned last week, are we going to see a bit of a Gilberto effect? I think we saw it today. We missed Granit. Granit is many things, but he never hides. The midfield here today, Thomas Partey had a substandard game. Sambi Lokonga looked a little bit overawed by what went on. I'm sure Arteta will address it moving forward. But Matt, are we about to see 3 months of the Gilberto effect? Or is this just a one-off?
Look, I don't know if we missed Granit that much, to be honest. I thought the team didn't click in the same way that it had in the previous games. You know, you were the one, Pete, who was talking about, we're 5% off. We're so close. It's just the 5% off. And this just felt like one of those 5% off performances that we've had previously, you know? So it could eat like that Smith Rowe break when he could have maybe just put it across, and Saka in the first couple of minutes when, you know, against Tottenham, that might have nestled in the bottom corner. So I think it was more a case of being 5% off than missing Granit. I thought Lokonga, I thought he was decent. I thought he's good on the ball. He's mobile. He moved forward. You can't underestimate how difficult it is to win away from home in the Premier League. It's really, really hard. And the likes of Chelsea and Liverpool, they win these games 1-0 and then you forget about it. They're not going there and smashing them 3-0. We had our chances, couldn't take them. I didn't think we were terrible against the press. I just thought it was a hard-fought game. Graham Potter is a good manager. They're playing a different system and a structure from us. And that's it. I don't think it's more than that. But, you know, Granit could easily have missed time to tackle in the rain, got sent off after 34 minutes.
And, so true.
You know, that is as likely. And, you know, he had a good game in the North. He had a good game in the North London Derby. We definitely don't want him to be out for 3 months. But his absence was not the reason why we didn't play like we did last week.
Johnny, do you think it's progress the sort of players that we can now put in midfield when we lose Granit Xhaka can have a decent performance and we come away with a draw? Do you think that Sambi Lokonga is progression even after, you know, a bit of a lackluster showing from both of our central midfielders today?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you look at this result and you say, do I believe that Elneny could have played alongside Thomas Partey and we secured a 0-0 result away at Brighton? Yeah, I do. I don't think that in of itself this result, you know, carries any kind of weight that would suggest that, you know, Lokonga and his contribution is something that we should, I mean, purely for this game, should, you know, is something that we should laud. Like, I do think there are other players who could deliver that. The thing with Elneny is every now and then he's dropping games in there where he's just completely anonymous, ghost-like, you know, and people just walk through him and there is a lack of a bond with his midfield partners. I think, you know, when you look at this result in general, of course, and I completely echo with what Matt's saying there, you know, Brighton could have won this and moved to the top of the league. The fact is, they are no jokes anyway. They're an established Premier League team now. They're not spectacular, but they're well organised and they are not going to get roughhoused by, you know, any old team. But the problem is, you know, what I said when after that Tottenham game, as well as, you know, a few things about how great we were and the idea that maybe we were starting to turn corners, if you like, because we delivered on what seemed like the plan. Arteta's strategy seemed to not only be very visible, but was being executed. But I said, the problem is, you know, if there was a context which has changed from, you know, in the heat of the moment after that final whistle against Tottenham to maybe a week later, it's purely not that we didn't play well, but Tottenham were fucking shit against us. Let's be real. You know, Jamie Carragher, if you haven't seen it already, jump on YouTube and check out the Jamie Carragher kind of breakdown on how Tottenham were playing against us. It's scary. It's something that we all love. We enjoy it. You know, inject it into our veins. More of that, please. We love donut football for them. Ideal.
Bagel FC, I mean, fam. Bagel FC.
Exactly. We want more of that. You know, fantastic. But the fact is some of the stuff looked really, really, like, if it was your team, you'd be like, oh my goodness. I've heard a number of Tottenham fans, you know, really panicked and spooked by what they saw, which again is lovely. We're getting a lot injected into our veins tonight. It's not that kind of night out for me, don't get me wrong. You know, the fact is I think that we have to also contextualise not only the results that have not gone our way this season, but also the ones that have gone our way. And the reason why I wasn't trying to get too carried away after the Tottenham result was it was an amazing result that you have to celebrate. If you can't celebrate a North London victory, North London derby victory, then what the hell is the point? But if you're going to wax lyrical that this is, you know, a symbolic moment of us turning the corner, then pump the brakes a little bit. We beat a Norwich team that will be getting relegated. We went away to Burnley, which I'm more... I didn't watch the game, I said that. But I'm more impressed with the result than the performance based off the stats and the highlights. And a Tottenham team that was a brilliant result, but ultimately, they look shit. So Brighton, who are playing well and we're going away, is probably more of a litmus test. And ultimately, I thought we'd done okay, but I don't know if I know whether we're going to be more likely to finish in fourth position or ninth position or tenth position after that game. It, you know, it still very much could be in the lap of the gods. So I think as Arsenal fans, even the ones who are the most positive, maybe pump the brakes a little bit, have a little bit of, you know, context to how we're viewing the results at the moment and wait and see what's going on, because I think we are on the cliff edge one way or another from it going, you know, rapidly to success or rapidly downhill very quickly. And we'll have to wait and see which way we actually end up going down in that fork in the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the characteristics of Mikel Arteta's reign is we've spent the whole time on a knife edge. We're always on the edge. We can always go from one side to the other, which is why it's been such a roller coaster. And I think, you know, you have to go. We went into the first international break in freefall. Three defeats, 0 points, zero goals, hiding everywhere. It was brutal. We now go into the next one with three wins and a draw. Would it have been great to get four wins? After that first international break, I mean, we would have bitten your hand off for three wins and a draw. So we're in a decent spot. And then I'm looking at the fixtures and I'm going, what are the next games that we've got coming up in this next run? And, you know, you talk about litmus tests, but we've got Palace, Villa, Leicester away, Watford. And you go, we're really going to find out what we're made of there, because, you know, you've got
tough games.
Three wins and a draw, could be two draws and two defeats, could be anything, because we've just got no idea right now what we're going to get week in, week out. But at least we're going into it in a better place.
That point, which I thought was good, I just would say there's a difference as well when you look at fixtures, when you talk about tough fixtures. Sometimes when people talk about going to the Etihad or Anfield, they say, oh, that's a tough fixture. Well, not really, in the sense that most teams, unless you're going for like Chelsea, different kettle of fish. But most teams, when they're going to those grounds, understand you're probably going to get beaten. So saying it's a tough fixture is one thing. Obviously, it's going to be a tough game and you're likely to get beaten, but you've not factored it into your, you know, prospective points haul. Tough games are when you're needing to go to Selhurst Park and get 3 points. That's a tough game. It's not like, oh, we can just close up shop. No, we're not going away to Palace saying let's get a draw. We need to be going and beating some of these teams. We're not going to be able. We're not ready. We're not at that stage of the process, in quotations, to guarantee going to these grounds and getting those victories. But when we go to grounds where we need to be on the front foot, have we got the right level of cohesion and understanding of what Arteta wants to do? Is he imbuing the squad with those, with that kind of knowledge and belief to get enough out of us so we can go and enact ourselves and our plans and our desires on these teams? Because there are some games when draws simply won't be enough. So that's kind of all I'd say.
The positive is the commitment, because the one thing you can say is I thought the players were 100% committed. And after the first three games, you were wondering whether they'd given up on the coach. That City game was an absolute disgrace. So today, seeing the level of commitment, I think bodes well for those next block of games. And hopefully our slightly higher talent levels is going to help us put together a run in this next block of games.
And you know, when we're hunting out context, I think singing the praises of Mikel Arteta too hard right now would be a mistake. But I think where a lot of people got it right is there was a lot of negativity around the summer signings. It doesn't matter what happens with Mikel Arteta, those people were wrong when they said that the players that we signed won't move the needle. they are wrong. All the signings that we brought to the club are all going to be good. They've all made us better. You know, this time last season, it was Danny Ceballos. One-paced, held onto the ball too long, never really affected a game. Always good for a mistake. And now it's Sam Vilakonga. Like we've progressed there. Then I think if you want to add a little bit of additional context, we have high expectations. Don't tell me that there's a single Arsenal fan out there that isn't looking at the table right now and some of the performances we've had thinking we might make top four. There's an outside chance that if we're still in the mixer, if we're within spitting distance of Man United come January, 2-3 points, 4-5 points maybe, this team will be a lot better in the second part of the season because everyone will have gelled and other teams will be fatigued and hopefully everybody makes the next round of the European competitions. And that's when fatigue really counts, not after, one week of European performances. And we have the youngest starting 11 in the Premier League at the moment. That's pretty strong context. And that means that sometimes it's going to bang like the Spurs game. And sometimes it's going to be difficult because Sam Vilakonga isn't used to playing a game of that intensity. But I tell you what, in 3 months' time, he's absolutely going to not play in that way. He's not going to hide because he is a press-resistant midfielder. He's just never been pressed like that before. So, the performance didn't feel right today. But the difference between now and maybe 6 weeks ago is I expect more now because I've seen the promised land. I've tasted that Spurs game. And we all have. So we all know that there is a better performance out there. And we've come out of a point and it's a disappointing point. But I think 3 weeks ago, we might not have. And just to go back to one of the comments that you had, Johnny, and I think that this is a bit of a habit of Arsenal fans. Spurs, before the international break, were top of the league and Arsenal were bottom of the league. And everyone was singing their praises and crying about how bad Arsenal were. A North London derby, it doesn't matter what the form is. It doesn't matter who the manager is. We made Spurs look terrible. We absolutely bossed them tactically. We bossed them for hunger. We were the better side. I feel like quite often Arsenal fans are like, yeah, but when we play, you know, Spurs were rubbish. Burnley, Burnley. And it's like, yeah, well, Burnley went and took a point off Leicester, everybody's favourite second club, a week after. We've come through a tough spell. We've got 10 points now, which is almost the exact dream scenario, really. I mean, if there were other games that I thought we'd drop points in other than this one. And I think that you're right. You know, like, we're in a best of three at the moment. The Arteta outs won round one. The Arteta ins won round two. Round three is what happens after the international break. And what I love about the games after the international break is they are litmus test games, aren't they? They really are. Like Crystal Palace, they're always difficult team away from home. Patrick Vieira is instilling something different there. So that's going to be a tough game. They were really good against Brighton last weekend. Aston Villa, they're like this weird sort of internet rivalry that's brewing between us, trying to nick our best player. How dare you? Watford, it's a London derby. Hopefully that won't be too difficult. And I think it all builds up to the Leicester, everybody loves their transfer policy. And I think it builds into a Liverpool game.
Yep.
And then it's like, you don't expect to beat Liverpool, but I tell you, you expect a better performance than we gave against Chelsea and Manchester City. So I think the next batch of games will really tell us where we are. And they'll tell us whether we can compete for top four this season or whether it's top six.
So some really good points there, Pete, and ultimately I'm in agreement. But the problem is the reason why I brought up the poor Tottenham performance is not to kind of poo-poo on any parade that we have at the moment, because I thought there were more than enough encouraging signs from that North London derby, and I was waxing lyrical about it, and I think that we should applaud that when we see it. The issue is that the point I made last week is that we have to look at, because some of the people who are more convinced by Arteta than maybe, say, myself or other people like-minded than me, they are
such a diplomat. You want to say Arteta sexual. I know it. I absolutely know that is what you want to say. Stop it. I can see it. I can see like the thoughts in your head spinning. That is exactly what you want to say.
I'm unpredictable. I won't give the people what they're expecting. I'll change. But the fact is that one of the arguments pro Arteta, if you like, is that there is a plan. Not only is there a plan, that we are seeing the plan, and we are now starting to reap the benefits of consistency because the players are starting to pick up his plan, and it means that we're going to start to deliver more consistent performances, which, you know, should automatically lead to better results with better performances. And I think the fact is that it doesn't almost matter about how bad Tottenham were in one way. We won the North London Derby. They're hard games to judge even at the best of times. Even if you're stonking form, they're shit, we still might have a tough game. However, when we look and try to assess whether the players are picking up the plan and are able to enact their tactical, you know, strategies that Arteta has, again, imbued on them on another team, then I think that we have to pump the brakes a little bit when we see a team that are disorganised. And what I had reservations were, are we only able to do that against shit teams or teams that aren't set up well? Whereas Brighton are not spectacular in terms of their quality, but they are organised. And I need to know that if we are, you know, making those strides forward in terms of our, you know, our checkpoints about, you know, trying to get where we need to be, are we going to be able to go to better teams, teams that are going to finish in and around us and impose our will? Or are we only ever able to enact it against shit teams or teams that are having a bad game? Because that's a different kettle of fish. At that point, it seems like we're only able to get a result if we nick a lucky goal and, you know, and hold out. And I don't want us to get into that situation. So that's the only reason why I would draw a note on Tottenham's performance. But yeah, no, of course, like, I do think that we have to look at a result like this and think it isn't easy to go there. But if we are going to take it as a celebration that we are continuing on this process, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from an attacking point of view in terms of our cohesion and coherency going forward that made me feel like a corner had been turned, because this at times seemed more reflective of the three previous games than the three most recent games in terms of our, from an attacking point of view anyway. We didn't create many chances. Brighton, you know, if we look at XG, which I'm not beholden to anyway, but they, you know, they should have scored. We shouldn't have based on our XG. And for me, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more attacking threat from us. That's all I'd say.
Matt, what do you think? You're on mute because of the church bells in the background.
I think there's one big thing, right? Because we're sort of forgetting about COVID, right? So for 2 years, home and away didn't really make that much difference, because there were no fans in the ground. And now, since the beginning of this season, and not even the very beginning of this season, but pretty much this season, the fans are back in the grounds. And, you know, we spent over a year desperate at the idea of getting back into the stadiums. And I think people are so happy and joyful to be there that the atmosphere across the board is euphoric. In stadiums, it's better than it was before.
It was noisy at Brighton today.
That's my point of view. And if you're a Brighton fan, you are so excited to be back in your stadium watching the mighty Arsenal come into town. And I think that there is a difference between playing at home and away. Do you remember at one point we were amazing away? We've also had seasons, I think, where we've only won like one or two games all season away from home. And even under Arsene Wenger, we'd win like 19, or only lose one game at home, and then we'd lose like 8 or 9 away from home. And I think you can't underestimate the difference between home and away. And I think with the team that we've got, the level of composure that we've got, the youth, and you really feel that youthfulness away from home, I think, more than at home. And I think every single away game is going to be a war. It's going to be an absolute battle. And I'd be amazed if we win more than 2 or 3 by more than a goal. I think it's such fine margins away from home. And I think we're going to see it all season. Hopefully we can begin to get a little bit better. But I think there's going to be an Arsenal at home and an Arsenal away this season. And I think that's really where the youthfulness is going to be exposed. And I think we'll look back and we'll look at points like this and go, and we're going to see many, many, many more performances like this. And I think the hope is that we don't end up losing a few of them 1-0 and we end up managing to scrape a few wins. But it's such fine margins away from home. And those young players, it's hard and they're not used to it.
So, yeah, I totally agree. And I'm just reading through the comments that are going through live and someone said that we don't listen or read the comments. Yes, we do, my friend. And there's one question from Zach. It says, Arteta or Potter, which obviously was going to happen because people are extremists. And then someone says, Potter 7 days of the week, John. Arteta has good ideas, but he's no implementer. I just want to, I only want to bring this up just quickly because this is the problem with Arsenal fans. Graham Potter is an implementer of ideas. He finished 16th in the Premier League last season. 16th. He couldn't score a goal. For all the dominance today, Brighton had 2 shots on target. He's got exactly the same problem that he had last season. If that was at Arsenal and we were drawing numbers like that on a regular basis, people would have something to say. So I think Graham Potter is a fantastic manager, but I don't think because we didn't win today, it means that Arteta all of a sudden doesn't have any source. So
Arteta sexual, Pete?
I am a bloody Arteta sexual. What can I say? Right, we're going to move on to a slightly more positive subject because we meandered like we were going through British country lanes after a couple of pints, which is dangerous. Never do that. So let's talk about something exciting. Ramsdale watch. And I always want to go to Johnny first on this because I know that Johnny is moving over to the green side because he even wrote a song for Ramsdale last week. Johnny, what did you make of Aaron Ramsdale's performance today? It was a big game for him because Bert Leno's bitching in the press saying that Arteta didn't tell him why he wasn't playing. Arsenal fans know exactly why Bert Leno isn't playing. But is Aaron Ramsdale doing enough to prove that he has what it takes to nail down that number one spot moving forward?
So I think this is interesting. It kind of chimes into one of the things that I started the pod with, in the sense that I do think that... I do think that some people who are pro Arteta, if you like, may have been a little bit too forthcoming in their adulation of him after a game where, you know, we've got to see how we continued on after the North London derby rather than just take that game and think we've done it now, we've turned the corner. However, as you said, Pete, one of the things that I'm happy to cede some ground on and say, do you know what? I calmed down. Someone said it on Twitter this week. I've been having lashings of humble pie this week. Okay, you know, it's like a pizza up buffet back in the day, you know, when you were like, oh, I can do 12 slices, mate, 12 slices minimum. Yeah, you know, like I'm eating lots of humble pie right now, and it's all about Aaron Ramsdale. The guy is ingratiating himself to me in a new way that I didn't necessarily think possible. And part of that is not only, let's talk football. Every time he plays, even though there are some, it appears, limitations, as much as we want to get carried away, limitations to his game at this stage, I think he can learn and grow and possibly be something great, for sure. But his enthusiasm and his energy and his passion is infectious. And I love it. And I'm, you know, when you're delivering that week in, week out, when we're going to Brighton, and I know he's not going to go hiding, I'm bought in. You got me, Geezer. You've got me. And when you're not doing that, you're talking about like charitable cases, nice guy. And then you're telling me your favourite cuisine is Caribbean cuisine. My G, that's what I'm talking about. This guy's talking about curried goat, rice and peas. I'm like, you know what? Aaron Ramsdale may just be my favourite player right now. I'm off it now. I don't know why I talk smack about him. I'm fully bought it. Sam Johnston. Don't talk about Sam Johnston anymore. Aaron Ramsdale is a serious, serious dude. I like him a lot. And
the Jamaican food was a masterclass. Everyone loved that. They were like, Aaron Ramsdale from Sheffield on the Jamaican cuisine. What's going on here? And he reeled off about 10 items of the menu that he liked.
Do you know what? Anyone can roll out and go, oh, yeah, like jerk chicken, you know what I mean? Like, it's a headline grabber. When he starts going, you know, like, I like oxtail and what? Oh, my God. about it. You know this guy listens to Bob Marley. It's not a problem. Do you know what I mean? He's got Could You Be Loved in the background as he's yamming on it. On his yams and, you know, some calphus or something like that. This guy's cut from the cloth. I've got time for Aaron Ramsdale. You know what? Anyone who was a pro Ramsdale guy at the start and thought I was a bit dismissive, I hold my hands up. This is my climb down. I apologise because I am fully bought in. This is our goalkeeper. Let's go. Let's go. And Jay Leno, keep your mouth shut, mate. You're there on the bench because you've been being shit for a while. Let's be honest about it.
Stick to your ham sandwiches, burnt Leno.
Yeah.
No butter.
Dairy Lee slices.
White bread. You bore. Matt, so Johnny's converted to full Ramsdalian. Can you bring the conversation down a little bit? Like what?
Absolutely not.
You're not going to.
I'm a Ramsdalian. I'm a Ramstafarian. I'm everything. I'm all in.
Ramsdalorian.
Bernd Leno conceded 9 goals in 3 games, and it could have been 15. And he had absolutely—he wasn't to blame for all of them, but he did nothing to help anything. And he showed a weakness of character, especially in that first game against Brentford on that second goal.
Getting pinned. How could you let another man do that to you, Bernd?
You don't do that. You don't do that. And then Ramsdale's come in. 1 goal conceded in 4 games. 3 clean sheets. And then you see that magic picture with David Seaman. I mean, another PR masterstroke. Ooh. 2 legends.
David Seaman at the training ground. You love to see it. What's going on at Arsenal FC?
I feel like Per Mertesacker is putting some strings because something is happening. We're finally doing some smart moves. I mean, we have been the worst for PR over the last 20 years. The worst. And somehow it's like they've hired Le Grove behind the scenes to just...
Ooh, you look flirt. You flirt. You absolute flirt.
Just say, show us the pulse of the club. Tell us what we should be doing, you know? We're going to see Gunnosaurus doing all sorts of crazy shit soon next. TA's going to be back doing something, doing pantomime or something.
Gunnosaurus signing a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
Cannot be made redundant, Arteta saying. See?
I mean, recession-proof contract.
I don't want to harp on, but I'll tell you who we haven't heard from in a while on Twitter. Mesut Ozil. Do you remember
Mesut,
do you remember? It was just going into the last international break. Trust the process with a broken heart. Tweeted after the City game. And people try and say that he had our best interests at heart. What a wanker. Because he has not uttered a single word. And I didn't see him tweeting out, trust the process, after that fabulous win last week. So he can go fuck himself, basically. And it's absolutely not an Arsenal legend, by the way.
Yeah, totally. And I'm going to carry on with go back to Ramsdale. So, like when I did like a little bit of research on him, I was going through some of the videos. He can sometimes come across as a bit of a scruffy goalkeeper, like it kind of gets clamors into situations, like sometimes be a bit enthusiastic. And there was that moment today where he spilled a ball and then he got caught out with Duffy and they got, yeah. And I was like, he didn't set a great tone to start with. But I thought that was through the whole team. But I tell you what, second half, didn't really have many saves to make. He made some fantastic saves. And I actually thought the best one looked the most risky to start with. When he came out and he came across goal to claw out that shot that was going to Ram Mope's feet, and he palmed it firmly down the middle of the goal because he knew that no one was there. I thought that was world class. I really did. I think Aaron Ramsdale Aaron Ramsdale wants to own that position, and I don't think he's going to let it go. And Bernd Leno complaining in the media that he didn't know why he got dropped. And Arteta came out and said, I spoke with him very clearly 48 hours before and told him exactly why he wasn't playing. So I think it's good news for...
Nine goals. That's why you're not playing.
Exactly. So let's have a quick chat about the striker situation. Ober didn't have his best game today. I think the reality is, there are some things that Alex Lacazette is really good at and some things that Aubameyang is good at. And when things are going wrong, You're playing long balls. I don't think, and you need a connector as a striker. I don't think Aubameyang is always the best. And I thought he had a poor game today. He didn't look as interested as he did against Spurs. Didn't really get involved. Was aerially limited, and his first touch was absolutely atrocious all game. So, Matt, what did you think about Aubameyang? Did he revert to type, or was it just the wrong game for him?
Just the wrong game for him. And look, I haven't been desperate to see Lacazette all season, to be honest. And then he came on. I was like, oh, he's actually been pretty good since he came on. And, you know, he's just in those sort of scruffy, difficult games, those conditions, the games where you're just going to have to grind it out. Lacazette is not a bad option. I mean, we can go into it. And I think it's terrible that he's still at the club because he's only got a year left and we should have got whatever money we could have got for him. But we sort of need him. He came on. He did a good job. If you had to say what is not the right game for Aubameyang, you'd say a lot of pressing, highly physical, really wet conditions away from home against a team that hasn't got a big name or fashionable or anything like that. It's basically every bit of it is not the right type of game for Aubameyang. So, you know, it was sort of expected, but if a chance had fallen to him, I think he could have taken it. But, you know, it is what it is. Lacazette didn't do himself any harm, and maybe he'll get a start against Palace.
Yeah, and Matt, on that note, we can say goodbye to you. We've got some comments that say, nice microphone. So
someone sounded immense. In the background, I've been trying not to move.
Hairs on my arms, standing up, listening to your beautiful voice. So thanks for joining, and we'll catch you next week on the whistle. Johnny, it's just
happy
me
birthday,
and you.
Johnny.
Happy birthday. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.
So now we've got Matt out. Let's get onto some more. Let's get onto some meaty topics. Let's talk about some positivity.
Can I just have a little go on the over?
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, you go into the Aubameyang thing.
So in many respects, I think that Aubameyang encapsulates the quandary that Arsenal find themselves in. He is both representative of the state of the development of the new project, but also completely integral to any success of the new system, in the sense that whether or not you believe in the project or not, Aubameyang is still our primary attacker. And we do have to get something out of this guy because we don't really have any other options. So, yes, it was exciting seeing Flo Balogun doing some sexy skills in the week. But the reality is we know that he's not ready to lead the line for Arsenal, not in the Premier League anyway. And what was, I think, if I could distill maybe one of the most exciting kind of situations or aspects to come out of that Tottenham result, it was the integration of Aubameyang in our play. He looked like he wasn't just a guy in there sniffing out an odd chance. He was involved in the build-up. He was incredibly influential, scored a great goal, but looked like, again, he wasn't a passenger in what we were trying to do. He looked like he was part of it. And that, when I say about have we turned a corner, I think partly is, has Aubameyang finally caught up with this system and found a way of being himself within this system? And, you know, it was very encouraging in that Tottenham game. But when you look at a game like today, just completely on the peripheries again. And so as much as anything else, I think the analysis of Arsenal is partly to do with our best attacking player on paper. Obviously, I've gone on record and said I think Saka overall is our best attacking player. I do think that's the truth. But Aubameyang should be and hasn't been. And we do need him to get back to something resembling it if we are going to be successful this year. And I hope that the North London derby is more symbolic of where Aubameyang finds himself within this process than today is. Because if he's resorted back to this, and when you're playing a team that are organised and do want it, if he's just going to slip back into a meh, then we're going to continue to struggle. And I don't think we'll get into the higher echelons of the league, which for me just simply won't be good enough.
I think that a lot of the blame can be, you know, firstly, he just had a bad game. You know, Aubameyang doesn't miss control as often as that in normal circumstances, and he certainly didn't last week. And I also think that the midfield didn't help him. You know what was great about last week's game against Spurs? The midfield were bold. Balls were getting up top super quick. This week, every time a ball was played to over, he had someone up his back because it was so slow getting out. I think quick football is essential if you want to play with Aubameyang in your side. You need to be breaking at speed, and we didn't do that often enough today. And I hope after the break he comes back like he did against Spurs. But the one thing that I am positive about, Johnny, is he cares. And yeah. I think maybe last season he didn't care as much because there were important things going on in his life outside of football. But this season, it feels like he's trying to change. And there's a few of the sort of tactical analysts that have been doing a bit of a job saying that he's starting to play more like an Arteta striker. He's linking up the play better. He's doing some of the dirty work. He's floating out left. He's floating out right. He's more involved in the game. But it just didn't work today. So let's hopefully we can write that game off. I wanted to talk about like the last thing before we sort of do final notes. Kieran Tierney's not been that good. He's gone under the radar. I know that he's had some good numbers for his crossing ability, but he hasn't been as impactful as he was last season in any of our games, really. Has Kieran Tierney been sussed? I noticed that in the first half, Brighton were really taking advantage of how far up the pitch he was. Do you think he's a little bit out of form? Do you think his feathers have been ruffled because Tomiyasu's the new fullback in town and everyone's talking about him? Do you think he's reading the tweets and he's like, where's my trending topic?
First of all, everyone needs to get old Tommy's name out of their mouth because I am bought in on that guy. I love the dude. Tommy, top bloke. I mean, he'll run for a wall for you. He's just great. Well done, you. It's lovely to see a guy like that. But let's not go overboard with Kieran Tierney. One of my favourite players. I've talked in the past about captain material. I think he has that. But his ultimate issue is still his availability. He is a guy who is more than injury prone at this stage. And I hope he shakes that. But No, let's not kind of get too carried away. I think that it's more of a case of how, you know, reliant on a left back we were before. You know, myself and other people were saying, this is broken when your left back gets injured and you can't create a chance. I don't want to see this anymore. That was my perspective then. And I tell you what, if it happens again, I'll be there again, you know. I'm not there now, you know what I mean? Like, the fact is it became a situation where we were reliant on someone like that because he had the ability to use his drive and his enthusiasm to actually create influence in the game. He was not only content defending, but he wanted to get to the byline, he wanted to put those crosses in, and he was often, the game changer for us. So I don't think that we can hold him to that bar where we go, oh, hold up, Kieran Tierney's not playing well if he's not creating goals and, you know, changing games. Ultimately, I'd be largely quite happy if our right and left back were just good defenders because we haven't had that for a while. That's been a luxury we haven't enjoyed. However, we're all not naive. We understand how important the role of a fullback is in modern football. And we know that you need attacking nous in your fullback positions, especially in the kind of setups that Arteta is purporting. So I'm not worried about Kieran Tierney yet, but I think it's a good point that you brought it up. I don't think he's been at his usual standards, but ultimately that can happen. And for a player who's been quite clearly one of our best performers for quite some time now, you know, I'll probably cut that guy some slack.
True. I'll tell you someone who we can't maybe cut the slack for today. I know you love Tommy, and Surfer Rosa on Twitch has said Tommy had a difficult game today, by far his worst. But this is the thing I love about this comment. The most important thing is not Suarez and Bellerin bad. just bad by his incredibly high standards that he set. So it was a tough game today. And that's the difference between, you know, the Spurs game, home crowd, North London derby. It's really easy to get up for those games. And, you know, you're part of an occasion, you know, everyone's watching. Brighton in their, you know, slightly smaller stadium. It's raining. It's wet. Winds are 50 miles an hour. It's a different challenge. But I'm still really happy. You are correct. Isn't it just nice to have everybody in the back five is good. Everybody's good. And that's a platform we haven't had the luxury of in a long time. Right. You okay.
Know, and the other thing is, Pete, just to double down on that point, when we say, and that's a wonderful comment to kind of bring up as well about, you know, of course, I don't think it was Tommy Asu's greatest game today, but what we needed in these defensive areas are players that when they don't have their best game, don't have complete brain fart games that cost us results. Just turn up and be solid. That's a thing. You can turn up and just give us a 6 out of 10, a 7 out of 10. Just, you know, the best players are ones who are able to say, even on my worst games, I'm going to give you 100% commitment, 100% effort, you know what I mean? And be physically imposing enough. Bellerin, on his worst games, bullied. And we've seen it. We've seen it away at Chelsea at times. He had a very good game away at Chelsea as well that we know he scored a goal. But in games where he's getting knocked out by Alonso and stuff, those were the kinds of games where it's like, I really like Bellerin, but that's when we need a different physical presence. When we're going away, people are tossing balls into the box and you're not going hiding. I'm going up, I'm winning things, I'm heading it away. And if you are going to beat us, it ain't going to just be doing shit stuff. Basic tossing balls into the box. It's going to be through you having to do something special. And that is what we've needed. More consistent flaws for players rather than just having players who have high ceilings. We need a decent level of your base rate is going to deliver a level of competitiveness, which we've lacked.
Agree. So just before we go, table heading into the break, it was looking pretty bleak last time. We were rock bottom, Spurs were top. The table's looking a little bit different now. We are we're four points off top four, 6 points off of Chelsea. How are we feeling about that? Is that, you know, that's where we want to be? I think we're 4 points off of Brighton, who are fifth. Everton have the same points. United have the same points. Liverpool have the same points until they play later. And Chelsea on 16 points. Is that better than you expected?
No, it's not better than what I expected, but it's not far below what I expected. I expected us to be far closer towards challenging for the win against Brentford. And I don't accept the excuses still of why we got handled in that way in that first game. For me, that wasn't an acceptable result. We have superseded some of my expectations in more recent times. I think different Arsenal iterations have gone hiding away at Burnley, even though we do quite well there. That, I mean, those kinds of games can be troublesome, physical, away, you know, hostile crowd, and we stood up to it. So I was pleased with that. So, but ultimately, this is what I mean. I don't think you could, anyone who is crowing on one side or the other, that they seem to have, you know, had their point proved, I think is in a place of, well, in an illegitimate place right now. The fact is that the season remains to be seen. I can't go, as someone who's still, to this day, not convinced about Arteta, the fact is that we look at the situation and I think that what happened in that Tottenham game is he showed a, what I think we showed overall was that we, through his best game under his tenure, we saw a different way of going about a game, which was exciting. There's no question about that. So if we're going to deliver more of them, of course someone like me might start to buy in if that's what we're producing week in, week out. But if that's just the anomaly and we're back to having 50-50 games with teams that are going to be mid-table, then no, I don't think the needle has been moved. And we're going to have more conversations about Arteta and his position, you know, as we get to the Christmas mark. But right now, when you're 4 points off top four or 5 points or whatnot, we're within striking distance of where we need to be. So that currently is enough for me to say I'm not going to double down on any. I'm not going to entrench myself on any position right now. And I hope that the penny has dropped this squad and we do start to deliver in a big way because the fans deserve it.
Yeah, I agree with that analysis. It the jury is still out on whether this project can bang. The jury's not out on whether the players are good enough. Arteta doesn't have that argument this season, and thank God. You don't want that argument. We've got young, dynamic players. They're going to get better as the season goes on. And the objective is if we are within striking distance of top four by January, then we're going to make a run for it. Last season, we weren't in striking distance when it came to January. We were in an absolute disgraceful position. But it doesn't feel like this team is going to go that low. But we do have to keep on racking up the points. We do have to keep on progressing the football. And we have to have better days than we had at Brighton today. But the important thing is, 4 points off top four. Like, I'm happy to be there. But let's hope, we're going into round three. Arteta's got to win round three. I think Palace, Watford, Villa, those are games that are going to be really tough. But there is an expectation that we win them.
Yeah, massive games for sure.
Yeah, all right. Johnny, where are you going tonight? Where in London? Which part of London are you hanging out in?
Do you know what? The fact is that if you guys haven't been paying people who are listening, I'm talking to you now, if you haven't been paying attention to Twitter, you might not have seen the fact that we've had some very flattering news, not only with regards to the podcast charts in Great Britain for sports. Very, very flattering. But it's also fan opinion and people tweeting out, saying some nice things. And the fact is that I know that I am a character that can polarise opinions. I know that I, whilst most level-headed people look at me and say, wow, this guy is so incredible and intelligent, some people will say, what a totter. I know that. So I'm not sure I want to tell people where I'm going tonight because there might be some people waiting at the club ready to stick one on my nose. Do you know? And go, hey, we found out where you are. That's for slagging Arteta off. But no,
The Pepe puppies are going to be waiting outside the door.
The puppy
walking to the bathroom. The door closes. All right, Johnny.
He's a couple of words in here. Come in here, mate. It's going to be
you
like,
wouldn't say that to my face dogs
before you know it. If I've got 2 ears in the next podcast, I'll be pleased. But no, I'm going out South London. We're going to have it large. Can I still do it? I'll let you know in the next edition.
Magic. All right. Well, happy birthday, Johnny. Thank you for making time. I know that you're out with your mates today. Have a brilliant night. And if you're listening to the podcast, you know where to go. Get on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Say something really nice. It's Johnny's birthday and it's what he would want. And on that note, we'll see you next week. We will see you next week. Actually, before you go, Johnny might have lined up a special guest. We're still working it out, but other podcasts have got famous guests. Johnny's got ins. So stay tuned because there might be a fun guest coming up over the international break.
A couple of Arsenal legends, maybe. We'll see what happens. But the fact is that it probably won't be in... maybe. Not next week, anyway. Not next week. But stay tuned to your podcast, to your Twitch, because we've got some stuff coming.
Magic. All right, on that note, ciao for now. Have a great night, Johnny.
Hi, I'm comedian Johnny Cochran. Now, last year, my life was turned upside down when I became a first-time dad. Yeah, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is a little bit crazy right now. How am I going to get through all of the challenges in front of me? One of the things I thought I'd do was set up a podcast talking to other fathers about their experiences. Fathers like Russell Kane.
No one's man is trying to suggest that what a man does is 1% of the ravages of a female's body being overtaken by its alien host.
And Carl Donnelly.
This is the admin bit where I'm sort of, obsessing about prams and stuff like that.
Oh, you got to get a good set of wheels.
I bought a vintage 1960s Marmot pram, which is so inconvenient, and it's never. It can't go any further than like the local park.
And Doc Brown.
We're here is complaining about money and how expensive it is to have kids and whatnot. They're like, well, you shouldn't have had us. It's like, it's your fault. And it's like, I mean, I turn around and it costs me 300 quid. Kids are so expensive.
So you can listen to those guys and more in the How's Your Father podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.